Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Creative Space Podcast. I am your host, Megan Garcia, and today I am here with visual artist and creative entrepreneur, Savannah Lee. Welcome, Savannah.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here today.
I'm so excited to have you here today. I found Savannah on a Clubhouse room, I think, by chance one day, and then I followed her on Instagram. I ended up buying her artist oracle deck and figuring out that we live in the same state. And so it's been really fun to connect with her online and to witness her journey and to just see all of her art and the way that she creates business as a creative entrepreneur. It is very inspiring. And I am so excited that you are here to share with us today.
Thank you. Me too. I love Clubhouse, and I think it's such a neat platform to like meet different people. And then it turns out it's such a small world. You know, you can meet people that are actually next door to you and you would never know otherwise. So I'm really excited to be here and talk with you today. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love if you could just introduce yourself and share a little bit more about how you have gotten to where you're at right now, doing what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Savannah. I live in Colorado. I'm a mama of two. I have a 6.5-year-old boy and an almost 3-year-old daughter. And I have been doing art since I was a teenager. I took art classes, all through high school. I did theater. I did art off and on all through my 20s. But it wasn't really something that was considered like something that I could do as like a traditional career. It was really important to both my parents that I go to college. I was like the first one, you know, to get a traditional 4-year degree. That was like really important to them. So I did go. I went to actually the University of at Boulder. And I have a bachelor's in English, and I got like a traditional corporate, you know, office job after I graduated. And I was miserable. Like I did the whole thing. I actually love, I'm a huge bookworm. So I loved studying books for 4 years, but that just like traditional setting was not something that I was super excited about. I did do art all through school. And I remember being 19 and in a living room looking at this giant abstract painting on a wall. I was with my mom at one of her friends' house, and I will never forget this painting and just standing in front of it going like, this is what is calling me. This is what I actually want to be doing. This thing that I'm looking at actually feels like freedom. But at the time I was very much into like, you know, I need to follow this path and this is how you're going to be successful and this is what we're going to do. So I did the corporate job, did the whole thing and was not happy. And at the time I had a friend that was going through massage school and I loved what she was learning about the body. I loved what she was learning about helping people and people's stories. And it felt like it was a really interesting possibility because it was school, but it was also like a career. It was something that I could build into my own business. It felt really stable. And so I was in California actually working at those corporate jobs and I quit. I only took what fit in the backseat of my Jeep and moved back to Colorado to go to school to be a massage therapist. And I went all the way through school and I was in that business for almost 10 years. And art kind of fell off a little bit. But I felt like what I was still doing was creative. There was a lot of like writing and business and marketing and the stories of people and working with energy and really like tuning into my gifts on that side of it. So energetic work and intuitive work and really learning how like different energy techniques can change the body and can work with the body and can help. You know, I feel like I was in the right place at the right time to learn what I needed to at that point to be here now, but I didn't know it then. And I ended up meeting my husband when I was in massage school. And so now we're married and we have a family. And when I was pregnant with my daughter, both of my pregnancies, I was really sick. And so I was like, I really need a shift. Like I can't keep working physically like this. I love this. There's a lot of things I love, but it's so hard. And so it was time to make a change. So I ended up working from home as a writer with my background in literature and my background in marketing and running my own business and things like that. And art, I started to have more time for it again. I was creating with my kids and it was like, how do I show my kids that you don't have to follow the traditional path. You don't have to follow anything but like what it is that lights you up. And so that became really like, how do I do this for me so I can show them? So my art started to unfold and I started to show it online and people started to buy it and I would put it up in local coffee shops around town and people bought it. And I was like, you know, it was mind blowing because it wasn't just for me that I was creating because I loved it, but other people had a response to it that was so moving. And the thing that I got hooked on was the stories of people that wanted the art. Like, we would connect over where it was going in their house or what they saw in it, or, you know, the way that it made them feel. And so it was like this piece that I missed from massage therapy was like the stories of the people and how we would connect. And it still got to be a part of my art. And the energetic part of it still got to be a part of my art. All of my art usually has like a spiritual based meaning, has an energetic based meaning. The Oracle deck that you have actually started out as like messages and images that I needed to see. I bought a watercolor deck when my son went to preschool and just started painting. I had never really used watercolor before. I was an acrylic artist and just started playing with that. And now I love watercolor. And that deck turned into something that other people responded to. I had like these paper cards that I would draw on, and I just started doing readings online with like these really big painted paper cards, and people kept coming. And that, so I would draw cards for them every week online. And then, so eventually it turned into a deck, and it's all happened in a way that like I could never have planned, but I feel like has always been leading me here. And so now it's unfolded into, I work full time as an artist. I get to be home with my kids. My art is all I do. And I teach intuition, I teach expression. And so it's like the side to create really beautiful art pieces, and I get to help empower other women and moms and people to like find their voice and find their expression and find their passion and follow it, because I think it matters. And I think when we do that, we help show other people that it's possible. So that's kind of the long version of how I ended up here. And I'm super, super grateful that I am where I am now.
I love that so much. And I think part of the reason why I love it so much is because you really just like followed what was calling you, and it was your creativity, and you weren't afraid to change your mind either. Like, you weren't afraid to like change your mind and like go a different route, even when it like was scary and you weren't sure if it like was exactly what you wanted yet. I think that there's so much power in that, because we as humans like don't like to change our mind very often. Mm-hmm. Right.
I would agree with that. I think I have an interesting, my dad works in radio. And so I've moved, I think we counted this last time, like 26 times in life, like a lot. So for me, I think coming from that, like change where things were always changing has made me a little bit more adaptable to change. And it's not that there's no fear when you do it. I think, for me, it becomes about like, who's the person if I don't make the choice, and who's the person if I do make the choice. And actually there's like a writing exercise when I moved back to Colorado, just for me personally, writing helps me look at things and get things really clear. So when I was making that decision, like, do I quit this job and move back and go to massage school and do this whole thing? I actually wrote out like as if I was talking to the two versions of myself, one that didn't go and one that did. And I could see like when I laid it out that way, I would have probably been fine either way, but there was one that had more of like who I wanted to be. And so it wasn't that there's no fear. I think everybody has fear about change, but I think for me, like, if we get one shot and we get one life, like, who is it that you want to be? It's not necessarily so much about like the things we have or the things we want to do, but who are you going to be on the way to get there? And so that for me, I think like being a mom has been my huge motivator, because I feel like they're not going to know how to do that unless I do it. So I have to figure out how to be able to navigate that and show up and be that person that I want to be, so that hopefully they'll feel free enough to do it too. So I think for me, being a mom was like this huge, I don't know, just like permission slip. Like, it gave me everything I needed to figure out how to do that, because I don't think it's something that people teach you, you know, like it's on everybody's journey. You have to figure out what that call sounds like, and you have to follow it even when you're afraid sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple things that I love about what you said. Number one, I love that like being a mom just like really gave you that permission slip. I think kids are such a great way, like regardless of whether or not you want to have children, kids are a really great way to connect back to creativity and back to playfulness and back to fun and back to joy, because kids don't have that, like, they don't have all of the societal like constrictions around them yet saying like, oh, that's embarrassing, or oh, that's kind of silly, or oh, that's really goofy, or oh, like you shouldn't do that, like don't do that. They don't have all of that yet. So they feel really, really free to be who they are. And so I love that. But I also love what you said about like writing those two letters to yourself and imagining like who those people are. I think our imagination is also a tool that's like super underrated in our creativity, especially as adults. Our ability to imagine things and imagine situations and imagine outcomes and imagine new ways of being is so powerful and so important. And so I love that you brought up both of those aspects.
I think it's funny. I think most people, when we use our imagination, like we're always imagining, like at least for me, like worst case outcomes, but it's such a powerful thing to imagine instead what it is that you want. And I think, yeah, I think creativity in all ways can just like, once you start tapping into it in like a little practice, it tends to like unfold in greater ways in every area. So you start thinking differently and see innovation and see solution. And I think even if you don't have kids, like who was your inner child, you know, like what did you used to love when you were a little kid? Like what was the thing when you were, you know, like 5 or 10 or 12 or 13 that you were like, this is what I love, this is what I'm passionate about. Like my 13-year-old like wanted a nose ring and tattoos and like to paint and have funky colored hair and like live this life, you know, with it. Like it's just funny sometimes to look back on, like I think 13-year-old me would be really proud. So I do it for my kids, but also like who's that little you that like had really big dreams that maybe weren't practical, and how can we honor that in, you know, even if it's not like your full-time job, like just adding pieces back in of what you used to love can sometimes be like really freeing.
Yeah. I love that you also brought up like the inner child. I used to do inner child work. Like that was like my entire business for a really long time.
I love that.
Yeah. And so that's like why, like I still do creativity work, but I think that there's so much there about like honoring your inner child. And I think it's also on the flip side too of like, so like when you were 13, right? Like you wanted like a nose piercing and funky colored hair and like arts and stuff. When I was 13, like I obviously was like parentified at a young age, but like, I was like, I want like a really good career. And I want to like all of these like really like just like backwards things that were like very adult at the time. And so like now for me, like to honor my inner child, like I like broke all of those rules, and I'm trying to like really find out like what it is that I do want to do and like what like I want to do outside of like work and outside of like, you know, what I do to make money. Like what are the things that like I just want to be because I want to be them? Because so much of my childhood was focused on like jobs and work because I was like that kind of kid. Like I like really thought about that. And so for me, like honoring like my inner child is really indulging, like almost overindulging in that creativity to make up for lost time almost.
I love that. You can do it at any point in life, you know, like, and if you were one of those kids that had that, like where you had to grow up really fast or you didn't get that, you know, you didn't really have that freedom, like you can absolutely have it as an adult. I love that.
Yeah. It's so true. So I just love that you brought that up. I would love to ask you though. So as you are like managing like these two sides of your business, how do you find like the creative inspiration for not only like all of the visual art that you produce, but for like these programs, like you are running a masterclass soon all about, you know, like creativity and intuition and expression. And so I'd love to know like how you balance like these two sides of the creative coin.
I would say that it becomes like a dance, right? Like it becomes not only like what does my family need from me today, but also what do I need from me today and how can I keep myself lit up? I will say one of the things that has really helped me just like over the past few months as I figured out what my human design was. So I've always been really big on energy and I've always been really big on like, you know, trying to connect with mine and like flow with my energy. But I have figured out and learned a lot about being a generator in the last few months. And so for me, I've just been playing with that. And I notice that when I follow what lights me up, when it lights me up, and stop doing things when I feel like I should do them and stop trying to force things to happen, but really kind of like take breaks and then just notice what is it that I'm passionate about in this moment, everything seems to flow better. So I think everybody, and whether it's human design or, you know, I'm teaching this masterclass on chakras, like whatever it is that they're all tools, right? None of them are like this one size fits all answer, but it's about kind of understanding your own energy flow and how you operate best, and then honoring that as much as you can. So for me, my creative inspiration for my visual art, I usually create things because I love them. And then it's just like a bonus that other people love them. I do commissions, and I do take, you know, on projects that are like designed for people and what they want. But my creative inspiration for visual art comes from, I create the things that have meaning to me. My inspiration and the way that I see things is like very visual. So I'll have an image of something that I want to create, and it will pull me because I want to see that thing. I want to make that thing. It lights me up. It's beautiful to me. It has meaning. Everything I do usually has like lots of layers and lots of meaning to it. So there's like an underlying why for every single piece that I create that drives me, because it's not just about paint on a canvas. It's about telling a story or something that it says. And that story is what pulls me. And then for the teaching side of my business, I think really that's just about every single time that you impact another human being positively and you get that message of like, oh, I never thought about it that way. Or, oh, you gave me permission to look at my intuition differently. Or, oh, like this, you know, even with that deck, like the messages that I get, this is what I needed to see today. That is the part that drives me there. So that is like, how can I be of service? So my art that I create, it has a story, but a lot of it I create for me because it's my joy. It's what I love doing. The teaching side of it is, how can I be of service to other people? And what could I talk about all day long and like never shut up about, you know, like what will I never get tired of talking about? The thing that I will never get tired of talking about is intuition and energy and our ability to tell stories and have an authentic voice, and what happens when you unlock yours and stop doing things because and saying things or not saying things because of the reaction on the other end, and you really start following your voice. You are a lighthouse for other people. You are a lighthouse for inspiring and for connecting with and letting yourself be seen, and it's like a ripple. So I think for me, I want my work to be meaningful. And so not just in the way that like I want to add actual physical beauty to the world because that's what I love doing, but like, how do I help other people? How do I help other women? You know, for a long time, I was that person that had no voice. I was that person that felt very shut down, felt very scared, felt very depressed, felt very lost. And now being on the other side of that and knowing what it feels like to be free, knowing what it feels like to be on my own side and to love myself unconditionally and to have my own back and to trust my energy and to trust, you know, you might not always have the big picture, but I know what my intuition feels like. And I know what those little glimmers and breadcrumbs feel like. And I know when I follow them, they go places I could never have imagined, right? Like beyond cooler than I could ever have thought out. So I want to help other people feel empowered to trust themselves and trust their body and trust their energy and trust their intuition and trust their knowing and trust their power so that they can go do the same thing in their own way for somebody else.
I love that. And I love that there are like these, like when I was talking about like the two sides of your business, right? I love that like one of them really is to serve you. And like you said, like if other people love it, like that's awesome and you love that, but like it's really for you. And then the other side is to be of service. And I feel like that's how so many creatives structure their business, or they try to really focus on only being of service and they burn out because they're not creating for themselves anymore. You know?
I do know. Yeah. I think that's really common. And we compare our art, you know, it's so easy to do, right? With like social media and everybody online and like everybody showing their really perfect end products and like comparing your process and your messy work and your, you know, whatever it is that you're creating, like to somebody else's, it can kind of like zap that joy. And so you have to come back to like, what do I get out of this in the first place? Like, why did I ever want to make something in the first place? What it is, you know, is it like the feeling of painting, like while you're in it, is it the flow? Is it the color? Is it the play? Is it, you know, you have to find your reason in it. And just like come back to that. And I think for me, like when I find myself feeling burnt out, it's usually because I'm trying to create something that I think will sell, or because I'm trying to create something that I think other people will like, or it's like based on things I have created before, instead of me really like following, oh, that's the thing I really want to make, you know, just because I want to make it. And I totally release the outcome. Like I'm working on a couple pieces right now, and it would be like amazing if somebody wanted them there in like in their home and as their art, but like, that's not why I'm doing it. Like I genuinely just want to make the two paintings that I'm making right now for me. And then, you know, in the hopes, and then I share that process. I share the kind of like the time lapse or the messy. I shared like the unfinished work yesterday because I want to give other people permission to like, you don't always have to show the perfectly curated end product. Your process is actually just as cool. Like your messy work and your how you get there. And creativity is a mirror, you know, it's like it evolves as you do. And like anybody can practice drawing and you'll get better. But your creativity and how you want to express yourself and how you show up and how you create will change on your like human journey. It goes with you. And so I want to like give other creators permission to like show that part of it, because that is the human part of it that makes whatever it is that you're doing unique. Nobody has your process. Nobody sees what you see. So yeah, for me, I just come back to like, and my kids too, they remind me, because they don't care. They're not like creating with any particular outcome, but they're, the stuff they make sometimes is like mind-blowingly beautiful because they're not attached to it. And so then it's like my reminder, just play. Like this is supposed to be a space of like exploration and play. So yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Definitely detaching from the outcome is a big thing. I think, that's where like, I kind of like went wrong when I started, like I paint a lot and I do art, but now anymore I do art solely for myself and not for other people, because I got really burnt out doing it for other people. And it happens really frequently in creative spaces. I think something else that I see too, that I don't know why this popped up from something that you said, but I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think, oh yes, it was when you said that, like, if you picked up a pencil and started drawing, like you'd get better over time. Right. I think so many people discredit themselves and attach themselves to the final result of creativity that they're unable to start. Like everyone is a creative. Everyone has creative energy within them. Everyone can create and can do it anytime they would like, right? But when we attach ourselves to like the outcome of like, okay, if I'm going to draw this vase, I want it to be super hyper realistic and look super beautiful, and the shading is going to be great in all of these areas. But like, you have not picked up a pencil in like 5 years and you really don't know what you're doing. Like that attachment to that outcome is going to make it like joyless, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I am a big fan of saying like your art doesn't have to be pretty to be good. Like it really doesn't. Like we have this attachment to like hyper-realism and beautiful things. And like, I actually think you're only going to figure out the way that you actually want to create and what your voice is by trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and like making a bunch of ugly art. And I love art because when it's not for other people, it's one of the safest places to be, because if you don't like it, you can just throw it away. Like, and nobody else has to see it. If it's not something that's like your idea of perfect or your idea of good, like cool, let go. And it was a good experiment, and toss it in the trash and move on. Like when you're not attached to having anybody see it or judge it or whatever, it's actually this really safe space to just show up and just like practice and let something out. And you know, you can kind of let go of like, well, I haven't done this in 5 years, so what am I showing up at? Or I don't know how to do this at all, so I'm just going to start practicing. And then you don't have, like, I actually would advocate keeping it, because I think there's a really cool thing that happens when you look back later on at what you've created. But you don't have to. You don't have to be attached to it. Ultimately, it's just a piece of paper. And when, you know, writers are writing, they edit out massive chunks and delete them. And when people are making music, they change lyrics and change all of these things. But we have this weird idea when it comes to like fine art or art, like it has to be perfect. It has to be beautiful. Like the thing that you have to create has to be like this ultimate work of art. And it doesn't. Like, paint over it, throw it away, you know, put it in the back of your closet. Like it can be messy. It can be something that nobody else ever sees. It gets to be a safe place for you, but you have to like give yourself permission, I think, to just whatever, you know, I'm just going to show up for myself just because I want to be here, just because I want to have a creative outlet. And everybody has creative energy. It doesn't have to be art. It can be cooking or singing or gardening or, you know, whatever your outlet is. Everybody has that like sacral chakra creative energy flowing through them. We just have this idea of like, oh, she's an artist, he's an artist, and I'm not. Or they're a writer, they're a musician, they're, you know, whatever, and I'm not because I don't do it full time, or I don't have a degree. I don't have an art degree, by the way, for all of you that are listening. You do not need an art degree to be an artist. You do not need like a piece of paper or a certification to tell you that you're a creative human being. You are a human being, so you are creative. You are a creation. You are, you know, like you actually are a work of art. You actually are an art piece that is always evolving. So you get to try new things, and that's okay.
I love so much of that. I love that you said that like art does not have to be pretty to be art. Like that is so true. Like it does not need to be pretty. Like ugly art is also valid. And also I love what you said about starting over and trying again. You're so right. Like when it comes to fine arts or like any art of most kinds, like we do not like give ourselves grace that like there might need to be more than one try, right? Like, I feel like this is like, especially super common with like painters and people who like to draw or things like that. Like if it does, like I know a lot of my friends, like when we do like paint and wine, like the paint and wine nights, you know, like yeah. if it doesn't come out the first try, like it's just, you know, it's a lost cause or whatever. And I'm like, start over, like paint over it. Like it doesn't have to be. And my friends are always like, no, I'm not creative. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm like, why not? Like, there's no reason to not try again and to also not give yourself credit for creating in the first place, I guess is what I want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're also talking about like, you know, you're looking at a template of somebody else's creation that you're trying to like balance yours or match yours to exactly. It's never going to look like that. And also you don't want it to, right? If you really think about that for a second, like maybe yours looks different because you actually have a different style that's trying to come out, but you'll never know if you give up on that first one. But if you follow what makes yours a little bit different and the things about your piece that you actually like, and you can look at it and say, well, that I actually really didn't love, but this style, this piece of it, this I really love. How do I pull that out? How do I play with that more? How do I make that bigger? You don't have to love every single thing about every art piece, but what do you love about creating? Like what, when you look at your art, when you look at the thing that you made, what's interesting to you? What is like, oh, you know what? I actually want to see what happens if I develop that. And it's a practice, but you only find your way there. It's like any other muscle, right? It's like if you worked out once and you were like, oh, I don't have abs. I don't have like the perfect result that I wanted after one workout. You wouldn't be surprised. You'd be like, oh, this is going to take me a little while. But art and creativity are really interesting because we don't allow it. You're right. That same sort of grace. So yeah, it's like anything, you know, you figure it out as you go, as you continue to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that as you continue to show up it does really evolve. And I love that you said that like, we are all like human art pieces, like that just like, you know, evolve and change and grow, and like that our creativity and our art grow with us as we evolve as humans. Because I think that's so true too. Like a lot of people are like, my art changes too much, or I don't really have a style or like things like that. And I'm like, so many famous artists have like multiple periods in their arts, like in their art, because they went through a million styles, right? Like there is no reason to nail yourself down to any one point, like any one part of creativity.
No, not at all. Actually, in my family, we call it like having many baskets. Like we have many things that we do. It's actually started from my stepmom because she has like so many different things that she's good at and so many interests, but we have this like weird idea that we should, you know, we should have the one career and we should have the one style and we should have the one thing. But most people don't operate that way. Like we have many ideas, we have many interests, we are multifaceted, we have many emotions, we have many sides. So part of your self-expression, actually, it benefits you from allowing in all of those sides, all of those voices, all of those pieces. Like if you, I like, so when I teach people, I try to say, like, if you imagine a diamond or like a prism shining in the light, like it has multiple sides that refract, that make this beautiful rainbow. If you took one piece out, it's not going to shine the same way, but your art is a moment. It's just a piece of this bigger, right? It's just a piece of this bigger gem. So when you're showing up and you're sharing an art piece, or you're sharing a song or a piece of poetry or like whatever it is, you're not saying like, this is all of who I am contained in this one thing. You're sharing a moment that was worth capturing. You're sharing a piece of you, a part of your voice, a side of you. And it's worth capturing because that's who you were. It's worth capturing because you felt it. It's worth capturing because it's a part of your experience, but it does not encompass who you are. And so I think it's a little unfair that we judge our art creations or our one style, our one niche, when we're capable of being so expansive. And the more you let out different sides of you, and the more you let people see those different sides of you, I actually think you have a chance to connect with more people, because other people aren't, you know, single faceted either. Other people have, you know, interests and passions. So like, how are you limiting yourself from your community and from the people you could actually impact by trying to force yourself into a box that doesn't feel good?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that you said that we're like multifaceted, and I love the idea of like of the gem or the prism, like analogy or metaphor, or whatever the technical English term would be for that. I really like that, because it is so true. Like, it is just a moment. It is just like, you know, a small fraction of your expression. And I think that there's another misconception in creativity, that a lot of the times, like, we are our creativity, and like our work is us. Like, that is true. But it's not fully encompassing who we are. Our work is just such a small fraction of that. And our art is such a small fraction of that, that it does not only ourselves a disservice, I feel like, but our communities a disservice when we like really immerse ourselves into like, my art is me, I am my art. Like, you are, and that's absolutely true. But like, there's also so many other like beautiful aspects and facets of who you are, that people want to relate to.
I love that a lot. And I think it makes it easier to share when you realize like, it's not the whole of who you are, because I think that holds a lot of people back, right? Like, afraid of what it will be judged as or said, you know, what people will say about it or think about it. So it like, it holds you back from sharing it, because you have this identity thing of like, it is me. And you're absolutely right. It's not, it comes through, like, my creativity comes through me. I feel like it's a dance with something bigger than me, because I don't always see where it's leading, and I follow because I love it. Like, I want to be in that dance, but I don't think it's all of who I am. I just think it's the way that I've chosen in this particular lifetime. Like, it, you know, I could be many things. I could do many things. I could have many jobs and be like really good at them. I've had a lot of different jobs. Like, you know what I mean? I've done that. We're not, you know, always going to just have one thing, but this is the thing that I've just chosen is going to be what I want to do. But I don't think it encompasses the whole of who I am. It's just the channel that I've chosen, how I want to serve, how I want to show up, what brings me joy. So you get to give yourself freedom to like try new things as well. Like, you get to give yourself the freedom of like, I want to try on cooking instead. Actually, it's funny. I say that because like, for me, that was like my thing this year. I've always had this idea of, I'm not a cook. I don't like to cook. And then, you know, with 2020 and like being home more and like my kids, I've actually tried really hard to change that story. And how do I infuse cooking with art? So like, put on music or make my plates really beautiful or infuse intention into them. Like, that's not all of who I am either, but I think your intention behind it has the power to transform it and the power to then like change other aspects. And it can all kind of be like this beautiful, you know, dance and like creation of your whole life once you start putting intention into different areas. But you're never going to be defined by one thing unless you let yourself be defined by one thing.
I love that. And I love the cooking example too. That is something that I'm working on as well.
It's so hard. But you know what? I love making bread, I've discovered, and I really like like making beautiful, like rearranging beautiful plates, like when the food is cooked. So that helps me. But yeah, I mean, we all have stories that we're not good at. And so for me, my mom is an amazing, amazing chef. She does, has done like catering and things like that. So sometimes too, like if you have the idea of somebody is better at something than you, it takes a little while to like unwind. What do I like about it? And how do I show up in my own way? And you get to give yourself the freedom to figure out what you like about different things too, regardless of how you grew up or what you've been taught. You have to give yourself the freedom, I think, for all of us. You have to give yourself that permission slip.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love that. So I think my last question for you is going to be about how to create from joy. Like, how do you create from joy in your life and in your business and all of those things? I'm sure you can also relate to this, but there is like this trope in art as well, that like all of the, like the hurt, like the starving artist, like the broke artist, like the like
beautiful art comes from pain.
Yes. Yes. Like beautiful. Yeah, exactly. Like all of the best art comes from like pain and suffering and blah, 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 blah. But like, we get to create from joy. And you are one of the people in my mind that like is the best, like living example of that. So any tips that you have for the audience about creating from joy, I would love for you to share.
Ooh, I get, it's funny. I get a little emotional when you say that. I think that is the gift to me when you say that, because I was not always this way. I struggled with really severe depression as a teenager. And just some really, really difficult things like through my teenage years and into my early 20s, very, very hard. And I used to think that that pain was my identity. And I used to think that was the only way I had to create, and that was the only thing I had to offer. So I understand how that feels. And I also understand what it's like to do the work and show up and say, I will have something different. My joy matters. Your joy matters. Like it, you have to decide that it matters. You have to decide that you get to be a person that gets to experience good things. And it doesn't change anything that happened to you. It doesn't change your story. It just means that you get to be bigger. You get to expand into a person that holds duality. You are a person that has experienced pain. You get to be a person that also knows joy. And I think for me, when I stopped fighting, you know, trying not to feel pain or trying not to get hurt again, I'm really letting myself experience all of my emotions, right? Then I was not afraid of feeling the lows, but I also got to experience the highs. I then got to experience joy. And the more you put yourself in that, the more you make tiny moments of joy a priority. So I love really good coffee. I love 10 minutes with a book. I love sitting in the sunshine. I love hugging my kids. I love really good music. Like, find really little things. I love really soft sweaters. I love we talked about this like the very beginning. I don't like shoes. I love like bare feet in the grass. Like, find your little joys and own them. Soak them up with your body, soak them up with your whole being, and tell yourself that they matter. And then look at, how do I, if I take something for me that I really, really love, for example, is fresh flowers. So a lot of my work has like a nature inspired kind of theme, because I think, well, that's just a whole other thing. But if you take one thing you really love, how do I want to bring this into my life? Like, what is the thing I could create from this that will show other people who I am and allow them their joy? And just start making things that make your surroundings feel beautiful. Do you feel beautiful with like paper sketches on the walls? Or do you feel beautiful, you know, when you're using like bright colors of paint? Like, do you feel joy when you're, you know, working with beautiful music on? Like, really start owning your creative process and making it a joyful place to go for you. Make it a safe, like almost like a ritual space for you to find calm and find joy and find beauty. And it doesn't mean you won't have bad days. It doesn't mean you won't have moments where you need to pour out the pain, where you need to pour out whatever it is you're going through. But then how can you find in that place, like when you're in that place of pain, big enough to hold. So can you still hold, for me, I started holding gratitude at the same time. Gratitude for all the things I still had while it was hard. Gratitude for being alive and being able to feel it in the first place, because that was not always something that was, you know, I thought was going to happen. There was a period of time where I would have told you I would not have been here right now. So how do you hold something else with it? Because you can do that. And just start loving yourself. Love what it is that you're capable of making. and get to know your own voice regardless of other people. Like, start to really spend time with yourself and it will come. Don't give up. It will come. Just start, you know, day by day and piece by piece, and recognizing that you are a human being that gets to have joy because you exist. You get to have it because you're alive, because you were designed to feel it, and reclaim your power that way. And it will start to spill over into other people, and you will start to be that person that you never thought you could be, that is a lighthouse for joy. And that's the hill I will die on. Like, I will be the lighthouse for other people to find their voice. And it'll get easier. It'll get better, and you'll make more things out of joy, and the joy will get bigger, and you'll have more joy and less of the dark.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so, if anyone is like listening back, go back and listen to like those last 5 minutes, because it is so true. You get to experience joy because you were designed to feel it and you are worthy of it. Like, that's like point blank period. And you also get the light to be the lighthouse for other people's joy too. That makes me like emotional too. And it's just so inspiring. So thank you so much for sharing all of that, for coming on today and sharing your story, your heart, and just who you are with everyone. It has been so wonderful to have you here. I think it is about time that we wrap up though. So I would love for you to share how we can find you, how we can work with you. How we can just connect with you and share space.
Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun. So I'm on Instagram at Savannah Lees, SAVANALEES. My artwork is there, and you can connect with me, message me. My website is linked. I am doing a free math class this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On like that powerful communication and speaking your joy and how we show up in energetic alignment. So if you're having trouble sharing your work, or you're having trouble showing up online or in any space, like, how do we do that from an empowered, joyful way? And I'm also getting ready to teach a longer 8-week course on like really deep, like diving into your own energy and building a roadmap home through creativity and through chakra energy to find your voice of self-expression. So finding your inner power, and then really finding like a way to self-express in a safe container in this group. So both of those are happening. But I would love for you to just come, you know, find me on social media and connect and say hi and be in my world and share what you're working on and just connect. So I appreciate you so much for letting me speak today. This has been amazing.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm also just going to quick plug a couple of your things as well. If you are a creative of any kind, the Artist Oracle Deck is one of my favorite tools that Savannah has created. And I also know that she just came out with a coloring book.
I do have, thank you for mentioning that. I do have the coloring book. It's called the My Mind is a Garden coloring book. It has 24 designs for you guys to play with and create in. The cool thing about the coloring book is that I designed it in a way where there's lots of empty space. So each design is on its own page with a blank back, and there's lots of white space around each design. So you have a framework to create, and it's about the fits of coloring inclusion, but I wanted it to be a space where you still have room to show up and journal or doodle or color or fill in your own words or your own ways. So you have like a template, but it's a space for you to create. So I'm super excited about that.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I saw it literally just got released like a week or two ago. And so I have been eyeing it and learning about it. And so I'm so glad that you were able to share that today as well. But yeah, thank you so much. I will link all of Savannah's stuff in the show notes so you can connect with her on Instagram, head over to her website, see all of her good stuff that she's got going on, and just connect with her. But thank you so much again for coming on today. This has been amazing. So grateful to know you and to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. This is so, so, so fun. Thank you.
Of course. All right, everyone. We will see you next week.